This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
Got a little tired getting through that whole title, but hopefully the presentation will go better. No disclosures here. So, you know, the whole last session, of course, we went over talking about dialysis, starting with a fistula, has better outcomes in large part because you avoid those catheter-related infections, complications, and death. It's still a major hurdle. It both takes time and it's unpredictable. And non-maturation rates are quite high, 20 to 60%. A couple tools have been developed to help predict whether a fistula is actually mature. So KDOQI gave us the rule of sixes, which has a 6 millimeter vein diameter. It's less than 6 millimeters deep. It has a greater than 600 milliliter per minute flow. And this has a very high sensitivity for actually successful cannulation. Dennis Bandick has also come up with what he calls the 5 minute AV fistula protocol. It's a ultrasound based where you look again at for 600 milliliters per minute flow, a brachial artery end diastolic to peak systolic velocity of greater than 0.4, 6 millimeter diameter, less than 6 millimeters deep, and 10 centimeters in length. And so just to focus a bit on cannulation complications, this was a report a few years ago out of Alabama, where they looked at basically all their patients in a five-year period. And for those patients who started dialysis, they found that there were 47 who had a major infiltration between 2000 and 2004. All of these events required prolonged catheter use. Overall, the incidence was about 5.2% per patient year, but the odds ratio for one of these major infiltration events was statistically higher for patients with new fistulas. And you can see the odds ratio here was nearly 3. And this is their figure looking specifically at the number of additional catheter days. It's a little bit of a funny graph to understand, but you can basically here, this is the percent of the patients using their permanent dialysis. And if we look at about 50%, half of these patients were on a catheter for an additional 97 days at a minimum with this single infiltration event. And so although it's not that common, when it does happen, this can, you know, we're looking at 3 to, you know, in some cases almost a year, 3 months to almost a year of additional catheter time. So, you know, this question kind of comes up, and here, you know, just as a sort of a case example, it's a 72-year-old man who was referred. He had deteriorating renal function, so as Chris had shown, you know, he was on the downslide. It was predicted that he was going to need dialysis within 6 months or so. He was referred for a brachiocephalic fistula. Procedure went well, and over the next 7 months, his renal function continued to decline, and so he was at a point where he was ready for dialysis. He had a strong thrill over the fistula, and so he went to the dialysis unit, and they tried to cannulate it twice. You know, they tried one day, and it was unsuccessful. Brought him back a couple days later for an additional attempt, and now his arm is bruised and painful and swollen, and he's not so sure about fistulas anymore. But we got an ultrasound, and you can see here, this is, again, kind of using this Bandick protocol. If you look at the brachial artery, you look at, and this, who knows, maybe this will show up on Chris's Jeopardy questions next year, but you can calculate mean velocity here with the peak systolic minus end diastolic over 3 plus the end diastolic. So mean velocity is actually quite good, 194. The brachial artery diameter is 6 millimeters. Do a little math, and you get a volume flow in excess of 2 liters. So there's plenty of flow through this fistula, which explains that nice thrill. But here's the problem. It's a nice 6 millimeter diameter vein, but it's 11 millimeters underneath the skin. And so, you know, this clearly is the reason that they were having trouble cannulating it, was it was just too deep. The nurses were having trouble feeling it and getting the needles in the right spot. So what can you do? Well, I think this is where this pre-cannulation ultrasound helps a bit, because if the patient had had this ultrasound and we knew that the flow was good, well, you just sort of leave that alone. You know the diameter is good. It's at least 6 millimeters. You leave that alone. But, you know, the depth is over 6 millimeters, so, you know, bring him back in for some kind of a superficialization procedure. So what different procedures can we do? Well, there's the big one, which is just to open up over the fistula, do an open fistula elevation, essentially close the subcutaneous skin, subcutaneous tissue beneath the vein, bringing it closer to the skin. This is obviously very useful if there's something else that you have to do. If there's a pseudoaneurysm, if there's a branch that you have to ligate, you can do that all simultaneously. But of course, this is a very large incision that takes a while to heal. So it's probably going to be at least 3 to 4 weeks before this is going to be ready to use. You can do a lipectomy, which is, you know, here they show a transverse incision over the fistula, take out this bit of fat from underneath the skin. You know, usually you can only get about 4 centimeters along the fistula, so you have to make at least 2 of these incisions to get a good, you know, 8 to 10 centimeters underneath there. This comes from the case files of our former fellow Wayne Causey, straight out of Tacoma, with ultrasound-guided liposuction. So essentially the same idea as that lipectomy, except you use this veterinary-sized needle to do an ultrasound-guided liposuction. But this, too, takes about 2 to 3 weeks to heal. Some alternatives that have come along, one is this venous window needle guide. It's also called the V-wing. It's this metal, essentially, guide for putting in a needle. It allows you to create a buttonhole location, which becomes very easy for the nurses. They just feel for this V-wing, and then they know exactly where to put the needle. You have to put 2 of them in, but essentially just with small incisions, you get down to the vein, you sew this on with some 6-O-proline, make sure that there's not too much fat overlying it, and very quickly is you have 2 access sites that are ready to use. Well, in this patient's case, he had a pseudoaneurysm that was sort of complicated things. So we took him to the OR and used one of these retap patches. This is a patch that's a silicone patch with a nitinol sort of superstructure inside it. You can use it to wrap the fistula. This is what it looks like. We basically fix the pseudoaneurysm, sew these little patches on top. And he was able to be started on dialysis 3 weeks later. He never needed a catheter. He's been actually being dialyzed with this for over a year without any problems. This is what it looks like on ultrasound if you're interested. You can see these little marks here, the nitinol and the silicone on top. It's also very easy for the nurses to feel. So I think in general, cannulation-related complications, they can cause significant delays in the small number of patients who have them. And some of these may be predicted, and to take a sort of page out of John Ross's book from last year, if you can't see the fistula from across the room, probably needs something done to it. And so I think this is where these pre-cannulation ultrasounds can actually be helpful. If it's not an enormous fistula that's very easy for the nurses to find and to cannulate, it's probably worth doing a little 5-minute ultrasound to look for any problems. And I think, you know, potentially a proactive preventative management strategy of these deep or small fistulas could reduce these kinds of cannulation complications. Thanks.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.